I thought I would look at the teachings that Walter Cummins did, and most specifically in his book, Demonstrating God's Power, and study the things he taught about renewed mind and the mind itself and believing. So that's what I'm going to do. So this is what I think about. Jesus Christ came and to do many things. He accomplished more than any man ever did in the history of the world. At the end of the book of John, it says he did so many things, there's not enough space on the earth to contain the books if we wrote them all down. I don't know exactly. That's just kind of crazy when you think about it in itself. But one of the things he did do was he made a more abundant life available and all that it entails. So in John 10:10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." And I thought about that and how that verse changed my life and many others. But yet, even today, many Christians don't manifest that life. They may be ignorant of what God says or what God has given them, or they may have been taught wrongly, or they may get talked out of it, of what they have and what they can do. But the truths of God's word still remain constant. God has never changed, right? He's the same God. And the great truth is that the renewed mind is the key to living and walking in God's power, to demonstrating that power. In John 14, 12, it says, Jesus Christ said, "The works that I do, can you do also? Because I go into my Father." So that was something he said. It's either true or it's not true. Many of us early on were led to believe that all the miracles and wonders happened, or sometimes we look at the Bible and we look at Acts, say, or we look in some of these guys and we think, wow, these things just happened all the time to them. But as we saw in Daniel, they don't happen all the time. There's a verse in John, the Gospel of John, where it says of John the Baptist that he did no miracles. Jesus Christ said he was the greatest prophet, but he never did a miracle. So there has to be something more of a measure to someone's life than just doing a miracle. Now, that's not to say that doing a miracle isn't a great thing to do, or to see it, or participate, or have it affect your life in some way. But the signs and wonders and miracles don't always have to be of epic proportions or like Hollywood. Sometimes they can be quiet, small things, and yet they can affect people in a dramatic and tremendous way. It is true that God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And a lot of times he works in us and we don't even realize it. Or we don't even consider it. And yet we may touch somebody's life and change it more than we ever realize or know. I saw a guy this past week. It's kind of interesting. And I taught a day in the Word years ago in New Jersey. And I taught it and I shared on something about somebody got healed. Something with my wife and somebody got healed. I don't remember. And I didn't see that guy again for 2 years. And he came back to me. He said, "You know that day that you taught that," he said, "I had a broken back and I got healed." And he came and he reminded me of that the other night because I saw him. So we just don't know how we affect people, and it may not be, that you raise somebody from the dead or you minister to them and they get healed, but still, and what you do or what you say or your example may affect somebody's life. Mm-hmm. Let's go to 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 19. And verse 11. This is some nerve. Just hit play and then hang it up again. Who was it?
Warren.
Oh, Warren. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll have to call him back. He wasn't on here?
No, he was not.
Verse 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. This is after Elijah had confronted Ahab and killed the 350 prophets of Baal, and he went off by himself, and he goes up into the mountain. And he goes before the Lord, and the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way in the wilderness to Damascus. And when thou hast come, comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And when Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of whatever shalt thou anoint to be a prophet in thy room. You know, so here's this Elijah, and he's all upset, and he goes through these earthquakes and tornadoes or whatever, and all this stuff, and then a still small voice. You know, it wasn't in all the gigantic stuff, it was the small voice of God, the quietness. Let's go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be quiet and know that I am God. Remember Jesus Christ confronting the Pharisees about how they would show off in front of the crowds? He said, go into a closet and pray to God. Be still and know that I am God. Just be quiet and still and peaceful. Isaiah 26. In verse 3 it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So all these verses communicate that when we are calm and peaceful and our mind is set on God, he can work in us and we can receive. And I thought about Daniel. You know, his mind was set on God. And he was peaceful and he received. And he would go off into quiet places to communicate with God and talk to God. The more abundant life is a spiritual life. It's a life where we walk and talk with God. A lot of times people think of a more abundant life in the physical realm. But it's really in the spiritual realm. Because until you're born again, first of all, and you don't have spirit, you don't really have much of a life. You have just a physical life, which is temporary. Now, if you walk with God and you listen to God and you do what he wants and you're doing your best for him, then you'll probably have things and get blessed in many ways. But the abundant life is built upon a knowledge of the truth, the rightly divided word. It is built upon practicing or applying that word of God, believing what the word of God says, and staying faithful to that word of God. One of the keys to all of this, living a more abundant life, is the renewed mind. And I have a quote from Walter's book. To renew the mind means to change the mind. It means to eliminate thoughts contrary to the truth of God's word, replacing them with thoughts from God's word. It is a continuous, day-by-day, lifelong process. To renew his mind or her mind to God's word, a believer, by his or her freedom of will, changes his mind so that it is in alignment with God's word. So in Romans 12:2, it says, we are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to renew our minds. We could read it. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, God would have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. And to come unto a knowledge of the truth, we have to rightly divide God's word and then renew our minds to it. God's desire for us as believers is to be spiritually perceptive and totally convinced of his word and his will. God has not changed. He is the same God that he always was and is and always will be. And the might and miracles that he has always done, he will still do. So it is simply up to us to manifest the power and ability that he has given to us and put the ability within us with his Holy Spirit at the moment we were born again. The renewed mind is a continuous learning process. We must never stop learning or come to the point where we know it all. Education, which we gain from the learning process, is the ability to meet life's situations as we grow. And the great aim of education is action. And let's go to John 8. Gospel of John. And verse 31. It says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. The word continue is the Greek word meno. It means to dwell, abide, hold to, or endure. So if we hold to or abide or dwell in God's word, then you are his disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the word know is the word gnosko, which means to experientially know. Now, you could know the truth about something, but if you don't take that truth and act upon it will be any good? Not much. You know, lots of times people know the truth and they ignore it, or they decide not to act on it, and then they don't get the benefit of knowing. So that's what we're going to do from the next couple of, who knows how long, demonstrating God's power.